go from there. This is your host, Trevante Jaramillo, and this is going to be a pretty sweet one. I'm pretty excited. I'm here with Kara and Alice Bruhard, and we're going to talk about... This is something that I'm really interested in on a lot of fronts. First of all, I'm a big, you know, advocate, that's not really the right word, but I'm really into using, you know, technology for anything that maybe it's a little bit more of a stretch than you would think, like, you know, business type of stuff, or...
Okay, you want to turn that off just a second? Thanks.
She's already tired of hearing me.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Got it.
I did a lot of work with my own company to convince them to start using iPads and all that kind of stuff. Because, like, there's really cool, like, visual aids for patients.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of stuff you can do just with iPads, iPod touches, that kind of stuff. But the real reason that I asked you guys, like, this was something that I didn't realize we were going to be talking about. It was less about that and more about the fact that your family has, like, a place in my head. Meaning... This whole thing started for me back in kindergarten, the same age as Kara, with a roll call that never got answered. Mrs. Rice, that was the kindergarten teacher. You know, when the first few days of school, they're calling roll and they're calling her name and she's not there. And then, you know, finally they tell us what happened. Well, like, can you talk a little bit about that first? Like,
Yeah, Kara, do you want to talk about it, or do you want me to talk about it?
I don't remember that teacher, though.
Okay. Well, that's okay. Yeah. When you were 5 and a half, we were skiing at Sunlight. You're a native of Glenwood. You've been here forever. So we were skiing as a family at Sunlight, and Kara fell, and a group of kids were racing down the hill pretty fast, and one of them plowed into her, and... his ski tip actually broke on her head. It scattered her, shattered her skull.
So it didn't go. It didn't really make entry, or did it?
It did. Okay. Your head was cracked like an eggshell. Yeah, it was cracked like an eggshell. In fact, the injury was so severe that she was stopped breathing on the spot. Another skier and my husband administered CPR. She was brought down the mountain and was airlifted to St. Mary's Hospital immediately. Went through several...
Were all three of you guys up there that day?
Yeah, all three of us were up there. We were right there. Jim and Kara and I were right there. I was right with her when she was hit. Jim was right with her when she was hit.
That's not what this is for. I don't know... I know just what happened. I don't know, like, you know, the progression of the story and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Let's jump ahead to... I don't want you to have to, like, go through all, like, the...
Oh, that's okay.
...and the hospital stuff, but, like...
Let's do.
Okay. Well, I'll just make it brief, yeah. So, anyway, you know, terrible, terrible brain injury.
You're awesome, Kara.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Yeah. you know, horrific brain injury. Uh-huh. 2 months in a coma. And having to relearn everything. And coming back to Glenwood Springs and trying to figure out, okay, where do we go from here? And we wanted Kara to live in Glenwood. We thought there was good support here, but it was a struggle through the years getting, you know, the therapy she needed. But it's a good community. She was accepted.
Well, how about this? Like, how long was the process before you guys knew that she was going to, like, be okay eventually, make it through?
It was, you know, it was quite a while. It was, oh my gosh, you were on a ventilator for 5 weeks.
Was
that? Yeah, really? Not breathing. Yeah. It was quite a while. It was probably about, you know, a good 6 weeks.
And then, at what stage was I before I actually pulled the trach out?
Oh, the doctors pulled the trach out. You pulled your feeding
tube out. I never
knew
that.
Yeah, you pulled your feeding tube out yourself.
Oh, I pulled my feeding tube out myself?
Yeah, that was about 4 months. You were already home, and we were doing a feeding tube with you, and you said, that's it. I'm pulling it out.
So I
How long before
out?
You guys were out of the hospital?
She was in Grand Junction for 3 months. And when she came home, I had to carry you everywhere.
I'm surprised, like, to me that seems short. Or was that how it...
That's pretty... Well, then we came
home. I know it was an eternity. I'm not saying that. But I don't know why I thought...
Yeah. You know, I think maybe if she had been older, she might have stayed longer, but she was young. I could carry her places. It wasn't like, you know, we had to do wheelchair training and stuff like that. I could carry her places. because she was so young, they said the best place for her is home, which is true for anybody. But then, you know, then the real work began. Then it was therapy every day and, yeah, lots and lots of stuff just to try and get back what we could for her.
Now, have you always worked in the medical field?
Yeah, I've always been a nurse. Yep. Okay,
and Jim too?
Yeah, Jim's an RN. He's retired now.
Well, that's probably good, right? I mean, like...
Yeah, it was good. Sometimes we knew too much, but in the long run, right. Yeah, I mean... Jim especially would worry more than me about things. I mean, he would really think really hard, you know, nursing-wise about what could happen and stuff. But, you know, I was more day at a time. Let's just get through today, figure out, you know, get through today, make today the best that we can and right. stuff. So,
when did you, because all the time frame is muddled, like, when did she finally come back to school?
She came back, her accident happened right before Christmas. She didn't come back until the following year, till the following September.
She was back the next year?
Yeah, she was back.
See, I don't remember any of this. Like,
yeah.
Karen well, probably remembers it better.
You guys were really little.
I don't know why I thought like she was a lot older when she came back, but it was the very next school year.
The very next school year, so 9 months later. Yeah. Yeah, 9 months later.
So, special ed... classes and stuff like that?
Well, you know what, TJ? We have always, always advocated for inclusion, for full inclusion.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We've always said people with disabilities are more alike than different. At one point, Kara's the first couple of years at school were really challenging because the principal didn't share that belief, and at one point she was made to go to school in Basalt. She was made to go to a severe needs program in Basalt, so she was in Basalt for...
What do you mean made? How do they do that without?
Well, they pretty much said we can't meet her needs here. They're too intensive. Mm-hmm. We have a program in Basalt. She can go to school in Basalt. So you were there for 2 years.
Was that like a brush off pretty much? Like they didn't want
pretty
to deal
much.
With it.
We were at one point. We were told we should move. We were told we should move to Denver, to get more services. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. That people just
Kara, do you remember any like were people mean to you and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just you know, I'm not. I've told a bunch of stories on this about like how you know how like kids in school are jackasses and they say mean things and stuff like that. And I've definitely done my fair share of you know mean shit, but like I don't get how like you know. I'm not sitting here saying that I can't appreciate, like, if there's, like a kid with Down syndrome and he's just making a ruckus and, like, it's kind of funny.
Right.
And, like, you might laugh at it or whatever. Right. But, like, to just straight out, like, say something, you know, messed up about, like, a disabled person, I don't...
Right.
Maybe it's just me now. Maybe back then I completely understood that, but now I'm like, why would you ever do that? You know? Does that stuff, like stick with you at all? Like, you don't remember, like, specific things, do you, or... I'm hoping not.
Do you remember people being mean to you?
No.
No? Okay. No, yeah.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think people were pretty good to you, Kara, all the way through.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there were times. I know your friend Abby and Lynn in middle school one time wanted to do a school assembly to talk about being nicer to Kara. I think there were some things that happened in middle school that maybe I didn't know about. But it didn't bother you, and the teachers never talked about it. But Abby and Lynn wanted to do a whole big "be nice to people with challenges" type stuff. So,
do you remember like Crystal Hamilton or Angela Bruno or Mike Waddell? The only reason I'm asking about them is because I told them I put a thing on Facebook that I'm coming here, and a lot of people are like all jazzed about it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Does she do? Do you do Facebook stuff or no?
Yeah.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
How come you're so quiet?
Yes.
Usually you're chattering a mile a minute. Yeah.
I
remember all his names. Yeah. Yeah. I remember all his names. You're friends with some of your old classmates.
Yes.
We need to get you aren't on it that much. We need to get you on it more.
Yeah.
Who's still around like from back then? Give him a little shout on the show.
Kevin Durkash is back.
I just talked to him yesterday. He's going to be doing... Well, he said he's going to do my show. I don't know.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Kevin's back. Who else, Karen? I'm blanking out on names. Do you remember? I'm blanking out on names now. Heidi Clary's around. She's a friend on Facebook. Oh, gosh. Who's the gal that took Jeannie Miller's place? See, that shows my age, DJ. Yeah, that shows my age. I can see your face. Shanti Cooper.
Yeah. She's been on my show, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I should have pulled that one.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's people that are still around, and sometimes people come up and talk to us and say, oh, and they introduce themselves, and they say, I was in your class and stuff. So, yeah, so there's a lot of people that are still around.
Let me get a couple of questions that I had out of the way real quick, because, we're basically back to, she's, functioning at school, doing all that kind of stuff, and graduated, right? Like, what was it, 2000,
class of 2000, okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, only a year behind when she should have been. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Exactly. I didn't realize it was that short a time frame.
Yeah.
Did it become, has it ever become easier? That's kind of what we're talking about at the end, right this second, yes, it's easier.
Oh, yeah.
But, was it just, a real grind struggle, the whole time? Or did it become, did it finally, plane out where you guys were, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and, in terms of from getting from there
just to care here, and stuff like that,
Yeah, it's ebbed and, it's definitely has ebbed and flowed through the years. School was really challenging. Again, like I said, our belief was full inclusion for Kara, and not everybody believed in that. So that was a struggle that we really, really...
Why was that such a big thing for you, though?
Because she was more alike than different. Just because she had a brain injury didn't mean that she should be separated from the rest of her classmates.
Right.
She shouldn't be in a special room. In fact, when you were in high school, do you remember what you named the room?
The abilities room.
Yeah, you named it the abilities room, and they put a sign above the room. They called it the abilities room instead of the special needs class. Because,
right. Well, they don't really call it that now,
yeah.
Right?
No, not anymore, but, there
what
were people...
What do they call it now?
I don't know. I'll have to go to high school and check it out. Uh-huh. But there were people that really, even now, believe that kids with disabilities should be educated differently than those that don't have disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Even now, even after, all the work we've done through the years trying to educate people about, you need to be in that same classroom as your peers.
Mm-hmm.
You have things to teach them just as they have things to teach you. We always believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Always, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever... my brain thinks weird,
Mm-hmm.
Was it ever were you sick of the opposition to where you were maybe F this place, maybe we should move? Or was it not really so much that? You guys had pretty good support most of the time, right?
Yeah, we had good support. We had good support most of the time.
Yeah.
And then Jim and I also got involved with a statewide group called Parents Encouraging Parents. And, it was a group that we would actually help present at conferences about how to raise children with disabilities. And we developed a really strong network of friends who also had kids with disabilities. So we would share our struggles and our triumphs and stuff. And so that helped us a lot.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we're still really good friends with a lot of them, huh? Like the Birds and the Petersons.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so there's a lot of people. Their kids are like Kara now. They're in their 30s and we're still in contact and checking in and seeing how they're doing. So.
Okay.
So for us, it's a support group of people that were going through the same things we were going through was critical. It was really, really critical.
What is it about you and your family that, you guys have had some shit go down?
Oh, may I speak?
Absolutely. You don't have to raise your hand. This is your show.
Yes. My mom's sister and half of the family have already shaved their head, and I am the only one that is leaving my hair on.
Yeah, my sister was just diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer.
Jesus.
So,
you guys really pulled a tough hand for
uh-huh.
life, dealt a tough hand. I think that's most of why, I was talking to a couple people at work
uh-huh.
about coming to talk to you guys. And,
uh-huh.
You guys are... I don't want to say inspiration, but kind of. It's so many people bitch about, such mundane, small, do not matter type of things. And you guys, because Jim was sick for a while too, right?
Jim had a brain tumor.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jim had a brain tumor.
And in 93, yeah. I was in a rollover accident. And
so you're not ever supposed to die, you know that, right?
Yeah, I rose from the dead, actually.
You rolled a scooter, not you make it sound like a four wheel scooter.
What?
She took a corner too fast and rolled a four wheel scooter.
And Patty, hear the roast, hear the roast, hear the roast. And Patty, my ex teaching assistant, was right back here, and I took the corner too sharp and
flipped
the scooter, and oh Lord, have mercy.
Yeah.
This other man came out of his house and helped me back up onto the scooter, and I came straight home and was in bed for 3 whole weeks straight out.
No, you weren't. Uh-huh. They dusted you off, put you back on the scooter,
and you drove
home.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You have a wonderful imagination.
Well, I
don't.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, TJ, nobody gets out of this alive, you know?
Uh-huh.
Jim and I say that all the time. And we are, at some point in time, everybody's going to face their trials
and
tribulations. And I have to say, for us, faith helps, small community helps.
Not going to survive.
Just the way it is. Just the way it is.
Are you guys religious?
Yeah, we go to St. Stephen's. I can't, you know, I have a deep faith. Kara has a deep faith. Kara has a huge faith.
I know. Amazing.
Have you ever, this is a weird question, but like, have you ever had like just a moment of just like, I can't handle any of this anymore, like,
oh yeah,
like breakdown, like,
yeah, oh yeah, yeah, I think everybody does, no matter, you know, no matter what it is. For, you know, for some people it's a broken
nail. But the reason I ask that is because you've always been like really like a pretty happy person. Like, I don't think I've ever seen you, I might have seen you mad once.
Oh really?
But I don't think I've ever seen, like right now you're talking about, you're smiling at me.
Yeah.
Like, people don't talk with a smile on their face.
Huh.
You know, well, a lot of people I know don't anyway. That's just, you're just like awesome and like.
No, I'm not.
Just turned up and
I
like,
really am not. I'm not. I'm. People say that all the time about our family, but we just do what we need to do.
Right.
Jim has been through amazing challenges. You know, with a brain tumor, with brain infections, with brain shunts, with all kinds of stuff. I don't think people realize everything he's been through, and he just keeps.
Well, I
kind of
hoped that he
too.
Was around today for this, but I guess I didn't really specify all that. But
yeah,
I just, you know, I appreciate like I like an interview or, you know, sit down that really like puts perspective for people, because that is something that is really lost on a lot of people. Like, a lot of people, yeah, they do have a struggle and they know exactly what means what, you know.
Yeah.
But then the people that really haven't gone through stuff, and they feel like, you know, their cell phone, you know, carriers screwing them, or, you know, boyfriends acting like a jackass,
right,
or whatever, and like that's
right,
the end of the world, you know.
Right.
I just think for like your family, you guys are amazing, and I just think it's
thanks,
really cool. I don't really know how to express that, but
yeah.
One question that didn't really cross my mind, and like, I don't know if it's something we want to talk about, but it interested me. This
mm-hmm.
Marisha from work was asking about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you guys have her home set up for pretty much, you know, long-term use and all that kind of stuff. But, like, what's the plan? Like, I mean, you guys aren't going to be here forever, you
right
know?
That's exactly why we've... That's exactly
like,
why...
You must have had to... That maybe, was that what it was when Jim got sick and stuff? Or?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, but we've always known that we wouldn't be here forever.
Mm.
We've always known... And Kara's always wanted,
yes,
said, I want my own life. I want my own,
yes,
house. So we had to start, like...
Do you want him to go now?
No.
She wants to go live in Arizona.
No.
Yeah. But that's why we've done this, because you need your own life. You need to know that you can be successful without us.
No.
So that's why I've been so passionate about trying to find everything to help her be as successful as she can be. And she's got the drive too. She's always had the drive to be, you know, she's never been one to sit on the couch.
Right. Did you ever, like, okay, let's go back to, like, the hospital time. Like,
yeah,
was there ever a point where, like, they didn't think she was going to make it?
Oh, yeah.
And, like,
yeah.
Did you ever feel, like, so overwhelmed where you were, like, and I really apologize for the
oh,
nature
no, that's
of this
fine
question.
I don't mind talking about it.
Well, the nature of this question, because this is just how I think.
Yeah.
And the reason I think this is because I've heard this, you know, I didn't just make this up. Like,
yeah,
I've heard this, and now it just floats around in my head, and when it latches on, it latches on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, was there ever a point, like, when it didn't look good that you were like, you know, maybe it should just not, like, upswing or whatever? Or did you, you know what I mean? Like, I know that's a really messed up thought,
like,
but, like...
Yeah, like, did we ever think that she should just go? That she should...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I could have just said that, but I got all scared.
Oh, so. No, that's okay. No, no. You know what, TJ, I have to be honest. The whole time she was in the hospital, never, ever thought that. Never. I mean, we were scared to know, because we always believed that you would live. And I think that you also think that we always thought she would come back exactly the same. Yes, ma'am.
I have one question in there.
Yeah.
I fell in front of Jesus, and he looked at me up this high, and I felt like I was in heaven for once.
I know. And you've talked about that.
And
Wait. Yeah. What?
I fell so hard, boom, on the ground in front of Jesus, and he looked at me up to heaven once, and I was in heaven once, and that was the day I felt heaven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Carrie talks about a heaven experience, and we truly believe that. Not so much now. When you were younger...
No.
You are now, but I mean, when you were younger, it was really... Your memory of it was really pretty
phenomenal. What did you remember?
I remember I went halfway up and then back down, boom, like so.
Yeah. But I remember you were laying, we were doing some physical therapy in the living room, and you looked at a picture of your great-grandma, and your great-grandma had been dead, and you said, oh, I saw her. I saw her with Mary and Joseph. Uh-huh. And you described what it was like.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so... Yeah, and we really...
You remember that? Too. Like, her telling you about that?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
God, that's crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, she was... they had to start CPR on the hillside. It was that. Yeah, so, yeah. Definitely, yeah. But, you know, we always... And I think this is really true when someone has, especially a brain injury, you always think they're going to come back and be the same. You always think that. You never... If you don't have any experience with brain injuries, you have no idea... the profound change, how it impacts a person's life. So we always thought she would be the same. As we got into it, there was maybe once or twice, and you've heard this story too, Kara, so I'm not saying that to hurt your feelings, but I remember sometimes driving her back from therapy in Carbondale, and she would just be like this in the seat. I'd be exhausted. And I think maybe it would be better off if she hadn't survived, because it was so intense.
Well, that was I was gonna say that. Yeah. Like, did you ever worry about, like, not so much that, like, I mean, obviously, if you were always, I mean, this sounds stupid, but if you were always like hoping that, you know, there was never that thought,
right?
Then you also knew, you know, the work that was ahead.
Never knew it going into it. Never had any idea. No, with her brain injury, I never had any idea how intense it would be and how involved it would be for so many years. And still, I mean, we're all growing, we're all changing. It's still a work in progress for all of us. But yeah, I don't think anyone, I mean,
here, like read this and see if this guy's being a jackass or if this is actually a thing. I don't know if you'd know, but because I was asking, like, if there's anybody, any questions to ask.
Huh.
I don't know what the fuck he's talking about, so sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, Caleb, you're out. Yeah. Well, okay, like, but like, did you ever think, like, maybe the surviving wasn't the best thing because you didn't want her to suffer like that for, did you always think that, like, once they fixed her, she would be...
Always, and that's the thing, that I guess that's what I'm trying to say. It's kind of like, you know, if somebody breaks a leg, you figure, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, they're going to be okay.
Uh-huh.
With the brain injury, we always thought, okay, we'll get her through this, we'll get her through this, we'll get her through this, and then she'll be the same. We never had any idea, even as nurses, how, number one, how much brain damage she had, which is, it's just incredible, but also how much, what a will she had to survive and overcome everything she's overcome. I mean, there's no predicting how anyone with a brain injury is going to come out of it. In fact, there was a girl in Grand Junction who was injured at the same time Kara was injured. She was in a horrible car accident. Her boyfriend was killed. She had a bad brain injury. And Kara was like flat for 2 months. She didn't move, didn't do anything. This girl would be moving and kicking and squirming around. And she never woke up. She never woke up from her coma. She still, to this day, is in a hospital bed in her parents' house. Her parents took her home.
She's still alive?
She's still alive. Jesus. Never woke up. Never woke up. Ever. I mean, every brain injury is so different, TJ. It's just incredible. It's incredible. So, I mean, we would, and we would look at her and we think, oh, she's moving, she's going to wake up any minute, she's going to start talking. She never, ever came out of that coma. Whereas Kara, you know, for 2 months, she didn't say a word. And then finally, when she started talking, it was like, whoa, maybe, you know, there's hope. We have hope.
Right.
Yeah.
No, this is very going very well. I am enjoying this. Because like, this is all stuff that, like, it's just been in there. And, like, to me, it almost would have seemed like, without this context of the show, like, it would seem like rude to almost ask mm-hmm. some of this stuff, you know, when it would be, some of it. But,
No, we've never mind talking about it, because I think, especially to help people, help people understand persons with brain injury, you know, you almost need to have someone else ask the questions to talk about what it's like. And we've never mind talking about it, have we, Kara? We've always mm-hmm. felt like it's good to educate mm-hmm. people about, again, she's more alike than different. Because of her brain injury, she maybe talks different, moves different, thinks a little bit different, but she's still, she's just phenomenal.
What do you like doing?
I like fixing. What do you mean, what do you like
doing? Like for fun, let's say.
What?
For fun, let's say.
Oh, I get it. I was busy with Helen's thing and Michael, yes.
Are you looking at your candle?
No. Would you like to see Helen's thing?
Actually, that was your friend Chuck sent you a card.
No, yeah. I don't understand.
What do you like doing?
I thought Helen, before she went to Picosa, she gave me her address, and now I don't know where the heck it is. I don't. I'm like,
I got it. Hey, tell TJ about the volunteer work you do.
Oh.
Can you do that?
I am so lost in my train of thought.
You're lost in your train of thought?
Yes, I lost my train of thought because Helen, before she moved to Picosa, she gave me her address, and now I don't know where it is. I'm like,
you know what, Kara?
Helen's calling right now, actually. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. You know what? I have Kara. I put it in my phone. I've got her phone number and address, But TJ was asking what you like doing.
What? I like meeting new friends and doing new things.
Yeah.
Where do you... You drink?
Yes.
Do you smoke?
No.
Do you date?
I would like to date so bad.
Have you not ever?
It's been a long time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what's that like? Like, how do you even meet somebody? That's not rude. You know what? Yes. I'm gonna apologize not just to you guys, but let me blanket this real quick for the listeners too.
Yeah.
I'm an ignorant ass. I say stuff like what I just said. Like, how do you even meet people? Like, that was really rude. I didn't mean it like that.
No, that's a question that you would ask anybody. How do you meet people? How do you get out and meet people? And
no, you don't. Not if you're a person with a brain in your head. You don't say
well,
stuff like that,
I take it back. Ever since Colorado Springs.
I don't know if TJ knows about Colorado Springs.
Okay, that does it.
Do you want to go get David's picture?
Where the heck?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
After high school, Kara, because of her brain injury, she's legally blind.
How are you?
Okay.
Here's David's picture. Right there. So she's legally blind, so that qualified her for services at the school for the deaf and blind in Colorado Springs.
Okay.
You scritched around there. So she met a lot of people down there. In fact, she met a young man there named David. You want to tell him about David?
David, he was my first one true only love, yes.
Yeah.
David Boggs and Miss Gull.
Yeah, David Boggs, yeah.
Yes.
David had a congenital disease called Batten syndrome, which he lost speech, vision, the ability to move. When Kara first met him, he was up walking, talking, had some vision. Good. Oh, Kara, watch out for Phoebe.
She is. She's going to get it.
And they became boyfriend, girlfriend. They were together about...
Get away from me.
Kara, how long? 7 years?
What? Wow.
7 years, yeah. Can I have this walking stick?
Yes.
So David... when Kara came back from Colorado Springs after 2 years, we'd go back and forth every chance we could so they could see each other and they'd call and stuff like that. But David died because of his congenital disease. So, but you say you're going to meet him in heaven.
I will, yeah.
He's still your one true love.
Yes.
But you're still looking. It'd be nice for you to find someone else.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, more ignorance. Are there, like, internet sites and stuff like that for, like, disabled dating sites, or?
You know, we've really never looked at that. That much, have we?
You think there's all these other special interest dating groups that maybe...
Yeah, I'm sure there probably are.
What?
But you do, like, the brain injury programs a couple times a year. Yes. You go to Breckenridge and do the skiing and the summer program, so...
So you meet a lot of new people like that?
Yeah, she meets a lot of people, that way. When you go to Breckenridge, to Breckenridge Outdoor Ed Center.
What's your favorite drink?
Need a hint?
Yeah.
Margarita?
Margarita.
Ooh, yeah.
Yep. You like movies and stuff like that?
Yes,
What's your favorite movie?
I'm surprised it doesn't just roll off your lips. Which one?
Forrest Gump.
Oh, okay. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Good movie.
Yeah. In fact, what did you and I do in October?
Mm-hmm.
Where did we go?
We went to Alabama.
Oh, cool.
We recreated Forrest Gump.
Mm-hmm.
We did a Forrest Gump trip. Yeah, we did. It was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
How did you even figure out where the places were at and stuff? Or did you just go to the town and check it out?
There's really not a town. Most of it wasn't even filmed in Alabama.
That's what I was wondering,
We just recreated it. Some friends helped us figure out places to go. I went online and found a bed and breakfast that looked like Mama's house. We stayed there a couple nights and went out on a shrimp boat, went shrimping.
Uh-huh.
So it was fun.
Dang.
Yeah, it was cool.
Uh-huh.
Let's swing around to the independent living part now.
Mm-hmm.
That way maybe I'll just stop talking and you I won't make more of an ass of myself.
Oh, you don't, yeah. Really, we don't mind answering questions. Uh-huh. Do we care?
I just wish I was, a little bit, doing a little bit better with it. Anyway, We're here at Kara's house, which is, I don't know if we mentioned that before, but Kara lives on her own. She does have some helpers that kind of roll through here and there, but for the most part, she's completely independent as far as the house goes. Now, can't drive, doesn't go, you don't really go anywhere by yourself, right?
Only in the neighborhood.
Okay. But, I mean, given the nature of your, how you are right now, this house is pretty amazing. And everything is set up for where she can do everything on her own. How did you talk about that first software thing that you guys looked into and then...
Yeah. Well, like I said, Kara, you've always wanted to live on your own. You've always wanted to be independent.
Mm-hmm.
So being a nurse, the way I learned was by going to conferences. So I went to conferences on technology and how to promote independence. And I found a software program, probably about 8 years ago. A woman who had a daughter with disabilities developed this software program, which was timed voice prompts, picture and audio prompts to guide a person with disabilities through their day. Like you and I were talking, and Kara, you really have no concept of time. Like for me, I could look at my watch and say, oh gosh, it's 6:02 and I need to do this. But for you, you don't have that concept. So
that's what stuck with me when I asked you at McDonald's that day.
Yeah.
Was you said that little voice in your head that kind of keeps you, on task or whatever, that doesn't exist for Kara.
Well,
okay, if it does, it's really ratcheted
back. It does, but it's really
limited.
For you, for what a task would take. Like, for example, fixing breakfast. You could come in here at 8 o'clock in the morning, which is when your computer or when the iPad tells you to make breakfast, and you could just get stuck in the kitchen doing dishes or doing whatever you do for an hour because you have no concept of time. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Whereas we would come in and we'd go, okay.
Where we would get annoyed if it's taking 5 minutes.
Right. And she
can kind of just...
Yeah, and you'd start daydreaming or thinking about things or decide you want to empty the dishwasher or do things to just and not focus on getting your breakfast done. So
now does this thing keep you from doing other stuff before you're supposed to?
No.
Or does it sometimes do you sometimes still get stuck making a bowl of cereal for an hour?
Yeah.
No?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Oh, hey, you know what? It takes me an hour too, so it's fine.
Probably not.
You get distracted. Phoebe barks. She has to let the dog out. Something else happens. And that's it. It's distractibility. She just gets really distracted.
Right.
So we started with this initial software. There was this other woman's voice telling her what to do all day long, from the time she got up till the time she went to bed. She probably had about 75 voice prompts. It went off at certain times during the day telling her what to do. And then I showed you two the picture and audio-based cooking prompts that we set up. So anyway, this initial software was $3,000, and I had to buy a dedicated PC and a touchscreen monitor, and then our PC died. So then the software wouldn't work with the new PC. Then I found another software program, which was about $1,200. We had to buy a new PC, do this new software. It was a pain in the neck to set up. There were always things happening with it. And then you were already here in the house, and we had to use it. I mean, you were independent, and you had to have something to guide you through your day. So then 2 years ago, I discovered the iPod Touch and started just playing around with apps and stuff. And like I showed you, I found an app for 99 cents that guides her through her day, which replaced $1,200 worth of software. I found another app for $50 that helps you with the cooking, with the picture and audio prompts. But since then, I've also found a free app that we could modify that I could easily create for you, how to cook and clean and stuff like that with the free app. Mm-hmm. So I've just really become so enamored of the iPad and tablets and the technology and apps that, I mean, I'm always thinking about things that would work with Kara or work for other people, because you're such a success, Kara. And the flip side of it too, TJ, that people don't think about is that because Kara lives so successfully, so independently, we have saved the system thousands of dollars. Because you would be
a state-run facility.
Yeah, she'd be in a group home, which is works for some people, but that
God.
I know. No. Yeah, that's you never wanted to be in a group home, so you always want to live on your own.
Isn't that why I moved back from Colorado Springs?
Yeah, because you were in a brain injury home there for a while with people with brain injuries, and it. Yeah, you always said, "I want to live on my own. I want my own life." So.
Well, this is pretty amazing, Kara. I mean, congratulations on making it happen, and I mean, it's hard work, and you're doing it by yourself. Like that's, you know what? Honestly, there are people that are just regular that don't take care of themselves as well as you do. I bet.
Yeah.
There's going to be we're going to do a little YouTube channel after we're done, or YouTube video after we're done. We'll show you some of the stuff they have set up in the house. And, I mean, so you've become, like, the iPad and all the technology, like, that's available, which is amazing, by the way.
Yeah, it is.
I might have mentioned this to you before, but, like, I'm a huge fan of this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw there was a video podcast somewhere that I saw. That it was called iPad in Business, and it was like hospital. This particular video is about a hospital. This hospital had like Flight for Life helicopters that were Wi-Fi enabled, and they had the diagnostic and monitoring equipment on the helicopter on board. So where people on the ground had iPads with real time vitals and like real when it comes to triage and stuff like that, instead of rolling out the whole goddamn hospital, they knew how to like ramp it up, level one, level two, or however they do it, And if it was severe trauma, then everything was out. If it was kinda like, there was maybe signs of improvement, then, they could maybe ratchet things back. And it was a time saver for, resources, that didn't need to be rolled out, stayed in, so let's save time there, save money, all this type of stuff.
Yeah.
And then clear back to like something as simple as a heart patient, sitting with the doctor with a 3D diagram, saying like this is what we're gonna do, that type of stuff. So I'm a huge fan. And like for my day job, like we haven't really done a whole lot with it.
Mm-hmm.
There's much more you can do with it. There's one thing called iImaginations, which is like, for people that are, probably not people that are going through these conditions, but if you ever wondered what astigmatism was or what somebody with cataracts sees or, all that stuff. Yeah. And it's pretty informative. It's neat, but there's that. Now what we're getting into is, measuring equipment for progressive lenses, to where like there's some stuff Like, you prop this thing up, and then there's put a little rig on your head, and, like, using the camera and all that kind of stuff, it can measure bifocal heights and all that type of stuff. Yeah. Cool. So, I mean, like, for our thing, it's not going to be, like, you know, super crazy, but it is neat what's available.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I just love it. And you are starting to do more, like, actively about technology and stuff like that, right?
Yeah. And, yeah, I taught a class at CMC in February. I'm going to teach a couple more classes in June. And I call it Beyond Angry Birds Facebook and Email, because so many people, that's all they use the iPad for.
Right.
So I'm
The other thing about that is, like, I'll be one of the first to admit that I was like, why the fuck would anybody want an iPad? It's a giant version of this. I have this.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, as soon as I bought one, I never put it down.
I know.
It's amazing.
Exactly.
And when you do find out, like, what's available, like, okay, you know, my podcast at my house, I have, like, a studio for pretty much, you know, board, mics, the whole gig. Uh-huh. But for a road rig, like, there's even...
I know, that's amazing. Well, that's all that you need.
This isn't even as cool as it could be. Like, there's this one thing where it's another board where you slide this thing into the board, and there's an app and all that kind of stuff. But then the board has, like, real, like plugins, like on a real soundboard would be.
Wow.
It's really cool. And I think I'm gonna finally get that, because this works fine. But there's no levels. Like, I can hear all of us right now, but, like, these ones definitely don't sound as good as the ones going through the board with each mics and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it's fine, and it's free, so shut up, all you people. But, but I mean, it's just amazing what there is, and, like, that's just for fun stuff.
Yeah.
For the stuff that's, like, actually, like, you know, at a hospital or...
Right. Or this, you know.
This is amazing.
A couple of apps that totally changed your life, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I look at apps all the time, like I was telling you, that allow people to live more independently. Because I'm a nurse and I see a lot of older folks that could just use a little bit more support to live independently, I'm thinking about apps all the time that would work for them. And I love it. It's just a blast. So hopefully at some point I'll help teach other people more about some of the apps and the ideas that I have.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
I asked you this a minute ago, but do you ever think about getting with a developer and maybe creating your own?
Is it
all case by case where you wouldn't be able to really do that?
You know what? From what I've read about developing apps, it does cost is tremendous, and Apple gets a huge amount of the money. That hey, Kara, can we turn that off for a minute?
Aww.
I mean, I understand it takes a lot.
She's
of
over
money.
It. She's like, how long is this
she's
taking?
Yeah, she's.
Over.
Doing an iPod Touch playing music.
Like,
I just understand that it's pretty expensive to get an app out there. The advertising you'd have to do is huge, you know, to really recoup the money that it takes to develop an app. That's what I've heard anyway.
I would look into it because, I mean, I talked to Katie Ross Bjorn the other day from the Bail Bonds, you know, because, you know, I don't know anything about Bail Bonds, and they've had to do some bounty hunting, so I thought that'd be a cool
video. Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah.
And they just rolled out an app for them.
Really?
And it was shocking how robust it is. It has, like, a pocket constitution.
Really?
It's like if you're in trouble, there's, like, a panic button that calls them, like, if you think you're going to need their services right now, you know.
Wow.
Like, it's actually pretty neat, and I'm sure they put money into it.
Uh-huh.
But for something like yours, I would think you could develop something that was, like, relatively cheap, you know, maybe 10 or 15 bucks, something like that, but, you know, maybe did cover more of this stuff, because, like, you're using three pretty cheap apps.
Right.
Dang.
I would imagine that you could, like, okay, well, you also showed me the Nanny Cam app.
Yeah. Right.
Which is a cool thing for, you know, when you guys aren't here, you can check on it and all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
I would imagine you could probably mash something together. And just, like, with your outreach and, like, when you're out talking and stuff like that, word of mouth advertising, I think people would check it out. I mean, not everybody that you speak to obviously is going to need it.
Right.
But, shit, you never know. I mean.
Yeah. In my spare time, I'll check it out.
We'll put Kara's face on the app icon or something like that.
Should we do that, Kara? Yeah, I should check it out. Yeah, that's interesting because I guess I've read things about.
Well, look, okay, let me say this. I have an app, okay?
Uh-huh. Oh,
like
you do?
My podcast has an app.
Oh, cool.
So I know it's available. It's there.
Oh,
so.
My gosh. That's really cool. Huh. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, I would look into it, you know.
Yeah.
And if you find the right company, they really don't. Like, because what they have is they have templates set up already.
Yeah.
So, you know, they don't kill you. It's not a ground up build. A lot of the stuff, it's kind of like maybe you could go through and see if any of it really matches.
Yeah.
And then you can talk past that. So.
Cool. Yeah. Good Good. That'll make me think different again. That's what I love about this stuff, TJ. I think so different when I do this.
Yeah.
I think way different.
It's you amazing,
know?
You know?
Because I've been a nurse forever, and I still love being a nurse. It's, you know, it's been great. But this makes me think so different. I'm always thinking about stuff. For care and for, you know, for other people with disabilities or the elderly, about, oh my gosh, this would be so cool for them.
Yeah. Well, I think we did pretty good for now, and I do want to do the YouTube video and get out of here, because I don't know why I thought we would go only a few minutes, but like, we could talk about this for a long time, and I definitely want to maybe get back with you and Jim about, just like, I don't know, like I said, perspective for people, because people, I've had a few, you know, podcasts of this nature where it's kind of like, you know, life story, struggle type stuff, and, you know, no doubt everybody that checks it out, like, that they can't. And maybe it'll pull them out for a little while. Mm-hmm. Eventually, they'll get sucked back in again. But it's just nice to have something that, you know, is, you know, just something to think about when you're complaining about your boyfriend or, you know, that type of shit. So it's something that I need, because I'm very good at just wallowing in you know,
really?
BS. And, oh, yeah.
Really? Huh.
Well, yeah, you don't know me.
No, not really. I've seen you. Yeah, I've seen you grow up forever. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a weird couple of years, but I'll tell you what, this show has helped a lot for me. So,
cool.
Do you have anything that like websites or like how they can book you, or you want to plug or anything like that? Or
I'm gonna be teaching the class. Actually, the little business that I have is called Take Time for Technology, and it's at taketimefortechnology@gmail.com.
Okay.
And Kara, Ashley, and I just spoke at a conference last week in Grand Junction on brain injury conference, and we're gonna be speaking at a conference in Gunnison in May. I just got appointed to the statewide assistive technology coalition, so I've been going to Denver every other month for meetings. I've just been to one meeting, so
she's had it with this show.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I really am trying. I just am so passionate about helping people live independently, and technology can do it.
I think it's cool. I mean, this is definitely a story that could have been set up for, I mean, complete collapse, but you guys are amazing, and what you've done is really commendable, so
thanks.
I appreciate it.
Well, Kara's amazing.
Could I buy a donkey?
No, you cannot buy a donkey. Yeah. And, you know, there's... And, you know, we're not seeing it in the interview, but, oh, my gosh, Kara, you have so much depth and so much life wisdom and so much perception about what's going on.
I think it's
a
good thing
that came through. I mean, But we'll show them a little bit more here, because we're going to do the little YouTube video of the house. So,
do a YouTube
Alice,
video, Kara?
I appreciate you.
I'm going to buy a goat.
You want to buy...
No. I brought one, so I'll just leave it here. Kara, thanks for sitting. I know this was kind of boring, but people are going to really like this. Like, I told people on Facebook we were doing this, and they're all excited, so...
Cool.
And we'll let you know how it does and how much of a rock star you are, so...
Oh, yeah, you've been wanting to be famous. That's your whole thing.
Maybe this is it.
Yeah, never know.
It is. Well,
maybe it's time that Mom does a podcast, too.
Yeah.
She likes talking about this stuff. Maybe she should get out there and...
Huh.
I don't know.
Yeah, I like talking about it.
Yeah,
I like talking about it.
I'm glad it's really cool.
Yeah.
So
thanks.
Thank you guys.
Yeah.
And let's do the YouTube video.
All
Go over there, people. With, GFT Vids on YouTube. All right, see ya.
Open doors, so I walk inside. Close my eyes, find my place to hide. In the shake, as I take.